Judges chapter number 14, where we'll be looking this morning. Amen. Appreciate that song. Amen. All the songs we've sung this morning. I'm glad He loves me. And because of that, He placed me on the winning side. Amen. And not that I may win, about to win. We've already won. Amen. By the grace of God, we've already won. Amen. Amen. I appreciate Brother Shaver being with us and telling us about that work. I think it was maybe close to 2 years ago. Maybe it was a year ago. But sometime back, I went to a preacher's fellowship there at Greater Cumberland Baptist Church. And didn't know anybody there at the time. I didn't know most of the fellows in the preacher's fellowship at the time, to be honest. But I went, and Brother Shaver preached. Amen. He was pastoring then in Katy's. But his dad had him to preach, and he did a good job, and I appreciate that. And it's interesting, Brother Kuhn went with us first time, and I think the only time that he's gone with us to a preacher's fellowship. Joshua went with us, and Brother Shaver's dad remembered Brother Kuhn from Bible college. Amen. And so that's a blessing. Amen. And how small the world is sometimes, and how God has a way of letting people's paths cross, and I do thank the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. And I appreciate James and Patience being with us. Amen. And it's a blessing to have them with us this morning, their children as well. And pray that God meet with us and help us. Judges chapter number 14. I'm actually going to begin reading in chapter 13, the last two verses of chapter 13, and then read the first nine verses of Judges chapter 14. And I want to preach a message this morning from this text, really more a topical message, and I don't do that very regular. But sometimes I do, and this is the thought that I felt like the Lord warmed to my heart, and felt like God would use it this morning, and if we'd obey Him. All right, verse number 24 of Judges chapter 13, the Bible says, "And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtael. And Samson went down to Timnath." Now I want to stop just a minute and say, the Spirit of the Lord didn't lead him down to Timnath.
Right.
Amen. It doesn't say the Spirit of the Lord led him down to Timnath. Samson went down to Timnath. That's a problem he had. Samson doing his own thing instead of obeying the Lord was a problem. All right. "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.'" It doesn't sound like a submissive son, does it? It doesn't sound like a God-honoring, God-fearing, parent-honoring son. He knows what he wants, and he wants it. And he doesn't care what dad wants. He doesn't care what God wants. Amen. That's the state that Samson was in. A lot of time young men get in that state, by the way. Young men and young women. They get in that state. That they know what they want. It don't matter what anybody else wants. Samson was there. All right, let's look at it. Verse number 4. "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord." Now, that doesn't mean that God put it in his heart, but it meant God was going to use this situation. Amen. I'll say more about that as we go on. "It was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, he and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, and he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and he gave them and they did eat. But he told them not, or he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. I'm going to stop reading there. And I want to preach on these verses and this story. I want to try to, as I said, preach a topical message. I'll allude to Samson. I'll say something about that and then give you our thought. But I want to preach on getting honey out of the line. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God and the presence of God and the, Lord, the opportunity to be able to stand and proclaim the truth of God. Lord, I pray you would help us that we would have the anointing of God upon us as we certainly need it. Help us, dear God, that we'd be able to say that would be pleasing in thy sight and be helpful to thy children, that might even draw some sinner into through the net, through the Holy Spirit, to bring them to Christ, that they too might be saved and enjoy the honey that's gotten out of the slain lion. Lord, you get the glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I got the idea of getting honey out of the lion out of Spurgeon's notes. In that Spurgeon study Bible, he commented on chapter 14, verse number 8. And most of, in the Spurgeon study Bible, almost every page has got notes, and some of them, the note is in the, you know, maybe about several verses. This particular one, the note's just about that one verse, and it takes up the whole area of his notes. But he also preached a sermon. I looked it up to find it. He preached a sermon in let me find it here. In the Metropolitan Tabernacle series, volume 29, page 78 through 93, preach a sermon entitled Hands Full of Honey. I read through that sermon. Hands full of honey. Amen. And this story here, let me just back up and give you some of the story about Samson and how this came to be. Could be much preaching done from this text, and probably needs to be much preaching done from this text about the choices, for example, that Samson made, the decisions that Samson had made, and all those things. But I don't want to dwell too much on the failures of Samson. I want to use this symbolically, as Spurgeon did. That was the allusion that was got there. But Samson had a problem. Samson had a problem loving the wrong women. He loved wanton women. It looks to me like this. God wanted Samson to fight the Philistines, and Samson didn't want to fight the Philistines. He wanted to love them. So God had to use that circumstance to make Samson angry at the Philistines. And you read how that it happened again and again and again, how that God would, a trap would be laid for Samson, and Samson, of course, walk into the trap, and the Philistines would seem to get the upper hand. And then God would move on Samson and he'd destroy many of the Philistines, and God would use him in that way as God moved upon Samson from time to time, as it says there. Amen. And so that's the process that's laid out here. But can I say to you that God did not wish for Samson to do what he did? God did not lead Samson to do what he did? God did not cause Samson to do what he did. I'm talking about this going down here and looking at these women and getting involved in these things. That wasn't God's will for Samson. But God was going to take those pieces that Samson put out there, and God was going to make a picture out of it that would be pleasing unto him. God was going to work in that and use those choices that Samson was making in order to cause a battle between Samson and the Philistines. And I say to you, God does not cause men to sin. You can't blame it on God. Amen. At the same time, your choosing to sin or choice for sin does not surprise God. Doesn't take God by surprise. Neither does it derail the plan of God. Amen. If you mess up, you're not going to wreck the plan of God. You may hurt things in your life. You may ruin things for yourself. But you're not going to stop God. God has a wonderful sovereign power. Amen. And I'm glad that he does. Now, looking at this picture that we see before is, you look at these words, and as Spurgeon would do, there's a wonderfully painted picture here in our text, not just in Spurgeon's words, but in our text here, that wonderful picture that we can see. As we see, look at verse number 8. Let me back up a minute. Samson goes into a vineyard. I've used this before. I've said this. I want to say sometimes, Samson, what are you doing in a vineyard? Samson had no business in the vineyard. Amen. He's a Nazarite from his youth. He's not supposed to be drinking grape juice. He's not supposed to be eating grapes. He's not supposed to be eating dried grapes. He's supposed to stay away from that. That was the vow of the Nazarene or Nazarite. Amen. Excuse me. That's the rule and the law. And Samson is breaking it. It looks like, I mean, why else is he in there? And I don't know that he's eating those grapes, but it looks like he is, maybe he's not partaking of them yet. Maybe he just likes the smell. Maybe he's just enjoying the look. I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, you start looking, you'll start lusting, and eventually you'll land in a mess of sins. What'll happen to you? I want to say to Samson, what are you doing in the vineyard? And then I want to say, what's a lion doing in the vineyard? Because lions don't generally eat grapes either. Amen. And I don't believe that that lion was in there hunting grapes. I believe that lion was in there hunting Samson. And the devil uses sin to tempt us into a place we're not supposed to be. And the lion is busy hunting our soul, or hunting our life, that he might destroy our testimony, that he might damage us in some way. Amen. But God uses this lion in the vineyard, and that lion roared up on Samson. And look at verse number 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. God gave Samson the victory over the lion. Not that Samson had the strength in himself. Not that Samson knew how to handle a lion. But God came mightily upon Samson. And he rent him, the lion. He tore him in pieces, that's what he's saying. Usually lions tear men into pieces. But this man, by the help of God, tore this lion into pieces. He said, as you would rend a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. He didn't have a weapon. But he told not his father or his mother. Let me just make a plug here too to you young people. If there's things you have to keep secret from your parents, you probably need to quit doing that. Amen. If somebody's telling you, let's keep this secret away from your parents, you probably need to stay away from those people. Amen. You don't need to keep secrets from your parents. Amen. You need to obey, and you need to have a relationship with your parents. God gave you those parents on purpose. Amen. Amen. Well, Samson didn't tell his parents, but then he goes back, and he's coming back the second time, and he comes back through that same place. Look at verse number 8. And after a time, he returned to take her, talking about the woman that he's wanting for his wife, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave to them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now here's why. First of all, they didn't go with him into that vineyard. It looks like they're walking a path. Samson wanders off of the path into that vineyard, checking on the lion. He sees the honey in the lion. And again, he breaks the vow of a Nazarite by touching the unclean carcass of a dead lion and taking of that honey. And so he didn't tell them. First of all, they would have said, what was you doing in a vineyard? What were you doing touching a dead lion? They would have asked him some of those questions. He didn't tell them. Now, the reason it said that he didn't tell them, he's given us some information later. He's going to use this as a riddle that even his mother and father didn't know the answer to. And so it's just telling you that he had this secretiveness about him. But you look here at Samson in verses 8 and 9. You see, this lion has roared up against him. He's rent the lion in two. Now he's come back and there's honey in the lion. There's a swarm of bees. And you see Samson standing there victorious. Amen. At this moment, not a bloody Samson, He's probably healed from those scars where the lion might have torn him or might have rent him at some time. But he's standing here victorious over the slain lion, and he's got hands dripping with honey, hands full of sweetness that he got because of his victory over the lion. Amen. And here's how that Spurgeon said, and it got me to thinking about that. He said, we see our Lord Jesus on Calvary, not as a defeated foe, but as the conqueror, thank God, as he defeated Satan, and we see him with stretched out hands offering to us the sweetness of the spoils of the victory. Amen. Amen. And so there's a beautiful picture there, and we can see also for ourselves many of those things. So think about this. Think about the Christian who day by day meets that roaring lion. Day by day we face the ferocity of the lion. By the grace of God, not in our own strength, but by the grace of God, we're given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John 5:4-5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Amen. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Romans 8:37 say, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. More than conquerors through him that loved us. So not only does God give us victories over our flesh, but God gives us victories over the devil. And God gives us the fruits of those victories. We see it even in our text here, and we know it from our own life. Amen. Spurgeon said it this way. He said, imagine the Christian soldier standing now as that temptation has come to him, or that sin has offered itself to him. And rather than sin overcoming the Christian soldier has overcome that sin, and now he stands with sweetness dripping from his fingers, saying to you, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord is gracious to his children and giving us the victory. Amen. Amen. So today I want to preach on this thought and use this illustration and think about getting honey out of the lion. I've got 3 points I want to deal with, some sub-points in there. And I want to talk about the believer and his struggles. The life of Christianity is not all smooth sailing. There's struggles involved. Then I want to talk about the believer and his sweetness. Amen. It's not only not all smooth sailing, it's all not sour and bitter either. There's sweetness involved in the life of Christianity. And then the believer and his struggles, the believer and his sweetness, and then the believer and his sharing. It's not just for us to enjoy. There's more than enough for others around us as well. Amen. And I'm glad that is true. Look at verse number 5, and we'll talk about the believer and his struggles. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Amen. And I tell you that path that they were on, there was danger that came along that path. Can I tell you that the path we're walking, the straight and narrow way, is no quote-unquote easy street? There are temptations, there are downfalls, there's struggles and battles, there's hills, there's valleys, there's difficult times, there's dangers, toils and snares for the child of God along the way. Amen. The Christian is called to be a soldier, not a smooth sailor. Amen. There's going to be storms. Amen. Spurgeon said it this way. I wrote this quote down. He said, the man who reckons that he can glide into heaven without a struggle has made a great mistake. No cross, no crown. No sweat, no sweet. No conflict, no conquest. That's what Spurgeon said. I say amen to that. Amen. You're going to have struggles. So there's the believer and his struggles. I've got 5 things to say about them. First of all, I want to say there are problems involved in the Christian life. There are problems. And I won't go deep into these because I've got other points I want to get to. But there are problems. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that the lion will not roar against you. He will roar against you. Maybe He's not breathing down your neck right now at the moment, but there will be a day He is. Amen. And He may be closer than you think. You might think, I'm walking through the vineyard of life. Everything smells sweet. Everything looks beautiful. Everything seems promising. Everything seems wonderful in the vineyard of life. But there could very well be a lion lurking in a place you'd never expect a lion to be.
Right.
Amen. Satan is real. He's really out there to get every one of us. Amen. But thanks be to God, God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I read the last two verses of chapter number 13. I read them particularly because it talks about the birth of Samson. And it says that he's born in verse number 24. He grows, the child grew, so he's a child. Verse number 25, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. I believe Samson's still a young man when this is taking place. He's probably a young man, but the Spirit of God moved on him. Why? Every time you find in that King James Bible, in the book of Judges, every time the Spirit of God moved on Samson, it's because Samson was in trouble. God moved on Samson because Samson needed God to move on him. Amen. Amen. God moved on Samson because there was a purpose. God wasn't playing around. God wasn't just giving Samson something that he could brag about and something that he could, you know, have testimony or you know, bragging rights down the road. God wasn't moving on for that. God moved on him for a purpose. That tells me the devil, probably the lion, had been roaring on Samson even before. Somewhere along the line, it looks like shortly after his birth, God began to prepare Samson for that battle that was going to come. And the enemy may have lurked and came against him early on in his life. You remember the text of our Lord. We preached about the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Our Lord, at His very beginning of His public ministry, shortly after being baptized, our Lord's led of the Spirit in the wilderness, that Satan would tempt Him in that time. That Satan would come and attack Him. And that's very early in His ministry. I'm saying that for this purpose. Sometimes you may not have been saved very long. Sometimes early on the devil will make an all-out attempt to pull you back into the darkness from whence you've just been delivered. To bring you back into the bondage of those things that Christ has given you victory over. The devil very well may attack you early on. Amen. And it looks like that was the case here with Samson. Amen. That the devil attacked him very early in his life. There are problems that we face. Number two, there is a plan. In the midst of those problems, there's a plan. Amen. You see, soldiers are made in battle. That's how they're made. They're not made by taking it easy. Amen. They do study war. They do learn about techniques. There's a mental thing, but it's not virtual war that gives the soldier his strength. It's real, literal battles that gives him his strength. Amen. And so, in order for God to produce a soldier, He has to put him in a conflict. But God's got a purpose for it. That's what I'm saying. God didn't allow Samson in this position to destroy Samson. He's molding Samson. In spite of Samson's wrong tendencies, in spite of Samson's wrong motives, God's molding him to bring him to the place that He can use him. Amen. You remember David was prepared. Before David ever got up there to face Goliath, he had already faced a lion. He had already faced a bear. Amen. Can I tell you, God has allowed you to face some things perhaps. And in allowing you to face that, He's preparing you for some bigger battles on down the road. There's a plan for it. Amen. Lamentations 3:27 says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. In other words, just talking about it, the benefits of work for a young man. It's good for him to learn to work. The life of ease produces softness. Labor produces calluses. Amen. It produces muscles. It produces a determined mind. It produces a brave heart. You face those problems. You can run from problems all your life if you want to. And you know what you'll do? You'll be running when you die.
Right.
Or you can face them. You say, preacher, I can't. He can. He can. You can trust Jesus, can't you? No, I don't know if I can trust Him or not. Then you've got a problem. You can trust Jesus. Does Jesus care? What's the answer to that question? Sure He does. Sure He does. He cares. Well, but preacher, I can't do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Why? Paul said he could. And you can. There's a plan. That's what I'm saying. It's God allows these battles to come. God allows these problems sometimes to back us in a corner where there's nowhere else we can turn to. We've got to call on God for strength. Amen. Amen. I say there's problems. There's a plan. Number three, there may be pain involved. I don't imagine that when that lion roared against Samson, that Samson got out without a scratch. I don't think Samson had invincibility. Amen. All these, these shows like Superman, they shoot him and the bullets bounce off his chest and then they throw the gun at him and he ducks. I always wondered why he ducked. If the bullet didn't bother him, what's an empty gun going to do? Amen. But Samson didn't have invulnerability, and neither do you or I.
Amen.
We're probably not going to get out of this thing without a scratch. Amen. There may very well be pain. And so when Samson was attacked by this young lion, by the way, a young does not mean a cub. You look the word up, it does not mean a cub. It does not mean a very young lion. But it also doesn't mean an old lion that's lost any of his ability. It's talking about a lion in its most vigorous power, in its most vicious attitude. This lion has roared against him. And I'm telling you, sometimes the troubles that come our way, the problems that come our way, even in the plan of God, it seems like a very ferocious storm that God has allowed to come into our life. And there may be some pain involved. Amen. God allows us sometimes to face severe trials. God allows us to face stern conflicts. Amen. When we read these few words it said about Samson's battle with the lion, nothing said about the scratches on his arms and legs. Nothing said about the difficulties so much that the story jumps to the fact of Samson standing in a pool of blood that's not his own blood, but the blood of the lion. Amen. When we see our Lord on Calvary, we see all the scratches, maybe you'd say. We see the beating of the cat of nine tails. We see the hitting in the head with the reed, the plaiting of the crown of thorns, the piercing of the hands. We see all that. But I'm telling you, in glory, one of these days, we'll see Him standing there without a scratch. Amen. We'll see Him standing there without the blood. Amen. Upon Him. We'll see Him standing there in His glorified body. I do believe He'll have the prints of the nails in His hand. Amen. But it won't be a bloody Savior we'll see. It'll be a victorious King of Kings. Amen. That we'll see on that day, and we'll see the lion at His feet. Bloodied, bruised, broken, and beaten. Amen. One of these days. Amen. Can I tell you, if we're going to follow the Lord, we may face some difficulties of a powerful lion. Amen. We may endure many sufferings, many scratches, many wounds even. Sometimes they're deep wounds. If the Lord will help us, we can overcome those by the grace of God. Amen. I'm talking about this struggle, the Christian and his struggle. There will be problems. There is a plan.
Right.
There can be pain. Number four, this is important. These problems may be personal. The pain may be personal. Samson's mom and dad knew nothing of the pain Samson was feeling. There may be things you go through other people cannot understand. Amen. There may be things you go through that others don't feel what you're feeling, but there is somebody that does.
Amen.
You're not alone. Amen. You're not alone. Samson had left his mother and father and he'd gone in there alone. He's walking through that vineyard probably thinking that nothing was dangerous around him. I mean, I said earlier, who would ever imagine a lion being in the vineyard when seemingly out of nowhere, here leaps this lion and attacks him. Amen. Sometimes the devil likes to attack us alone. He likes to surprise us by his location and surprise us by the ferocity in which he roars. Amen. But can I tell you, We can say what the psalmist said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." We're not alone. You may feel like you're alone. Might not be anybody else there. No human being that's there by your side. But there's a man. There is a mediator, thank God, that'll go with you through your storm. The man, Christ Jesus. And then number five in this situation about the struggles of the believer, there is power. There's power to overcome. Look at verse number six. Excuse me. Verse number six. "And the Spirit of the Lord." That made all the difference right there. We could have put a period right there and said, "I know the rest of the story." When God gets involved with His children are not defeated. They come forth as conquerors. Amen. And when God's finished with you, if you're His child, you can come forth as gold. Amen. "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father and mother." He told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Amen. Can I say to you that thank God all of God's children can have power in the day of battle? Amen. You might think, and it seems like we have this mentality, "Oh, I'll tell you, thank God that the preacher's got power." And he does. He should have. But it's not just the preacher that has power. A lot of times we think the visiting preachers have power. Visiting preachers' wives have got all the answers. Visiting, whatever. They've got all the answers. Can I tell you, friend, you can have the same answers. You can have the same power. You can have the same Holy Ghost of God on you to empower you. Amen. The Bible plainly says, verbatim, the Bible says he had nothing in his hand. Samson did not have a weapon. Far as the lion could see, Samson was weaponless. Far as the lion could tell, Samson was powerless. Far as the lion could tell, Samson's going to be a victim. But Samson did not become the victim. The lion became the victim that day. I'm telling you, the devil thinks he can take every one of us down. And in our power he could. But in the power of the Son of God, we can have overcoming power. Amen. You can have that. You can, if you call on the Lord. Amen. Psalm 34 verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them." Or out of them all. That's the way it says it. Out of them all. Amen. Now here's what I believe. I believe that people that fall into sin and never recover don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because according to this Bible, a good man may fall. He may even fall seven times. But according to that Bible, he's going to get up. That's what the Bible says. I believe in the perseverance of the saved. I believe God's children are overcomers. Amen. Preacher, I can't kick this drug habit. You can if you know Christ. Christ can. Amen. Preacher, I can't quit this pornography. You can if you know Christ. Amen. Preacher, I can't quit whatever. You name it. Whatever it is, I can't quit this doubt. I can't quit this, whatever. You come up with it. I'm telling you, God can give you overcoming power according to that book. Amen. Not only can, He does give us overcoming power. You may not walk in victory every minute of every day, and I'm not trying to make you think that you can. Or maybe you can. I'm not making you think that you do or will. You may not, but you can have victory. Amen. You can overcome. Amen. I talked about the believer and his struggles. Let me go to number two. The believer and his sweetness. I didn't intend on it being this long, but I'll just try to mind the Lord. Amen. The believer and his sweetness. Look at verse number 8 and 9 again. "And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Amen. Can I say, thank God, not all of the believer's life are battles. There are sweet times in the believer's life. Amen. There's communion time in the believer's life. Amen. There's fellowship time in the believer's life. There's rejoicing time in the believer's life. Amen. There will be battles, but there's also blessings. Amen. There are times of refreshing. That's what the Scripture says, Brother Hall. We'd call that revival time, wouldn't we? Times of refreshing. You know, when, I mean, water is refreshing. It is. Water is refreshing. You know when it's most refreshing? When you're most exhausted. When you're just about wore to a frazzle. You understand that talk? I was thinking, Brother Bell was talking about, Brother Schaefer might had to go to language school. I thought some people think I needed to before I came out here. Amen. You ever feel like you just wore to a frazzle? I just can't hardly make it. You get a cup of cold water, thank God, and it is refreshing. I'm telling you, for the child of God, you're in the battle and the lion's been roaring down your neck. The lion's been scratching at your arms and the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, hallelujah, and gives you a little honey for your hands, amen, and a little honey for your taste, hallelujah, and you get that refreshing time again, amen. Refreshing from the Lord, amen. Here, Samson gets to eat the honey out of the lion. Every now and then, God lets us enjoy the sweetness, even in this decaying world. Even in this defiled world, God allows us to enjoy some sweetness of eating honey from the victory. Because the lion has been slain. Amen. Because our Lord is victorious. Every now and then we can enjoy some of the blessings of the victory. Amen. God's children ought to be happy people. God's children ought to be rejoicing people. Amen. God's children ought to be victorious people for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. I wrote it this way. Fellowshipping with Jesus, basking in the sunshine of His presence, meditating on His wonderful words of love, considering the provisions He's made for us in heaven, ought to give the Christian the greatest joy on earth. Amen. Ought to give us the greatest joy known to man. We ought to be able to do what Paul told the Thessalonians. We ought to be able to rejoice evermore. Amen. We ought to be able to do what Paul said to the Philippians. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice now and rejoice again later is what he's saying. Amen. We ought to be able to rejoice because God gives us the sweetness every now and then. Amen. Now I got a couple things about that. We rejoice because the lion has been slain. Amen. We rejoice because the lion had been slain. Samson went into that vineyard. If that was the first time he ever went in when the lion roared on him, I'm not sure that it was. Here's what I personally believe. I believe Samson may have made several trips down through that way. May have made several times that he'd gone and looked at that woman before he ever got up, maybe got up the courage, or, and I'm not sure the courage is the right word because courage is a good thing, but Samson got up enough nerve and maybe this is a better way, enough audacity. Maybe that's better. Got up enough audacity to tell his daddy, that's what I want. I want that forbidden woman. I want that woman from that wicked crowd. That's what I want. Samson probably had been by there and looked at that over more than one time. More than likely he'd been in that vineyard more than one time. And I'm saying, this is why I think it. Because I don't believe that lion went in that vineyard without knowing there'd be somebody in there. And the devil has watched you, friend. He watches you when you make that little detour in that area you ought not be. He watches you when something catches your eye that ought not catch your eye. Amen. And he'll wait if he can. He'll get you back in that area again. And the lion will roar against you one day. Amen. But when Samson came this day, after the lion had been slain, I don't think he expected to be any danger at all. Because he knew that lion has been defeated. Amen. He knew that lion had been destroyed. He went in there just looking at the sweetness. Amen. He came, here he is. He comes down and there's the lion dead. But out of that lion, some sweetness comes forth. Amen. And he goes away rejoicing. Amen. And I'm glad the child of God can do that. Listen, there may have been a time when alcohol had a mighty hold on you. You can rejoice today that alcohol does not have that hold on you. Amen. You can rejoice today that drugs don't have that hold on you. Whatever the sin, we could go on. It might have been gambling. It might have been lying. It might have been stealing. Whatever it was, thank God by the grace of God, you've gotten victory over that lion. Christ has slain that lion. Amen. And you can rejoice in the victory that comes. Amen. Colossians. Turn with me. Colossians chapter 2 and hold your place in Judges. We'll be back. Colossians chapter number 2. I'm trying to hurry, but I'm not doing too good a job of it. Verses 10 through 15. I want you to read these verses with me. Colossians chapter number 2. The lion roars against us, threatens to destroy us, but it itself is destroyed. Chapter number 2, verse number 10. And ye are complete in Him. Now hang on a minute. Here's what we say. Preacher, I might confess it. I might confess it if I just had something more. He said, you don't need a thing. If you've got Jesus, He said, ye are complete. How are you complete? In Him. Which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Hallelujah. And having spoiled principality. You know what that means? That means Jesus Christ overcame them. Jesus Christ conquered them. Amen. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. We can say what the songwriter said. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross. What happened when it was nailed to the cross? Thank God I bear it no more. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That sin that had me in bondage, that sin that held me in my confusion, that sin that held me down, thank God Jesus took it away. Amen. Now I can walk in victory. Amen. Now I can rejoice in the sweetness. Amen. The sweetness, amen. When you see, I'll just use this illustration, you've heard it. When you see a drunkard in the ditch, for example, if you do, you shouldn't say in piety, thank God I'm better than he is. Lord, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men. No, you shouldn't do that. You've heard the saying, you should say, there go I, but by the grace of God. But you also should say, thank God I'm not there. I'm not better, but I'm sure better off. Because what Jesus did for me. Amen. Amen. Because of the blood that was shed for me on Calvary's tree. Because the blood that's been applied to my soul. I'm better off. Amen. That sin no longer has dominion over us. Amen. We can rejoice because the lion has been slain. Number two, we can rejoice because of the loss of the sting. Those bees, there's a swarm of bees, the Bible said. But you realize it don't say one thing about them stinging Samson. I said a minute ago, I don't think he was invulnerable. I don't think that they couldn't have stung him. And I won't say that they didn't sting him. I won't say, and neither can you, that death won't sting me or you. But one of these days, one of these days we'll be able to say, oh death, where is thy sting? Yep. Amen. One of these days we'll be able to rejoice that death does not have the final word. Amen. Amen. Death does not have the final word. We've got life beyond the grave. Yep. Amen. Thank God. We rejoice in the sting being lost. And then number three, we rejoice because life is sweet. Amen. There's honey. Honey out of the line. We can live life to its fullest knowing the blessings of God. Amen. 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 Here's what I get from that. Samson's walking through that vineyard and the way it says it this time, he went for the purpose to check on that line. Not to see if it was alive again. But to see, here's what I think. I think he wanted to refresh his mind what God had done for him that day. That day when the lion roared so rough, when the lion roared so ferocious, he wanted to remind himself what God did for him that day. And when he got down there, you know what he found? He found sweetness in the carcass of the lion. We're living in a decaying world, but every now and then we can find sweetness in this decaying world. Amen. You don't have to live the life of a grumbler and a complainer. You don't have to live the life of a doubter and in despondency. Amen. You don't have to live the life of a moly grubs, as Brother Hall said sometimes. Amen. You don't have to live. You can rejoice in the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. We have that rejoicing ability. Amen. Amen. I wrote it this way. We do not have to stand around the carcasses of this world. We can eat honey out of God's own Word. We can enjoy honey from our prayer closet. We can enjoy honey from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And then the last thing, I said the believer and his struggles, the believer and his sweetness, there's the believer and his sharing. Here's what you notice in verse number 9. Samson didn't stay in that vineyard with that deadline. Samson didn't eat all the honey. Samson shared it with his family. Samson comes out with his hands dripping up. Don't you think his mama would say, Where'd you get that, Samson? Where you been, Samson? What you doing? Where'd you get that? Don't you think she would have at least said, Are your hands clean? I don't know if they asked any questions. He's just enjoying the sweetness of that honey so much that mom and dad want to get in on that same sweetness. Amen? Amen. It looks like that Samson had no sooner tasted of that sweetness than he wanted to tell somebody else. He wanted to share it with somebody else. Amen. He wanted to distribute that sweetness to somebody else. Amen. Just as soon as you get saved by the grace of God, you want to tell others. Isn't that right? You want to brag about what God has done for you. Amen. You may go on the job. You may do it at home. You whatever. I don't know. You may get on Facebook. You may get on the phone. I remember when I got saved, I was 8 years old. When I got saved, fifth Sunday in June 1974, and I got saved by the grace of God. I remember when we got home. By the way, my grandmother and grandfather was there. My mom and dad was there when I got saved. Of course, the preacher was there. The church was there. But I had family that wasn't there. I remember I had a great aunt, Aunt Cora, that wasn't there. And I said to Mama, I said, can I call? I called her Aunt Corey. I said, can I call Aunt Corey and tell her about me getting saved? She said, sure. I remember walking down the road about a quarter of a mile where my uncle, is really my great uncle, so was Corey, my great aunt, but my great uncle Will was down there. I knew Will wasn't saved. I knew my grandma had prayed for Will. I know Dad said his grandpa had prayed for Will. I'd heard my dad pray for Will. I walked down the road, 8 years old, walked a quarter of a mile by permission from my parents. I walked down there and told Will what Jesus had done for me. Amen. You know why? Because I was enjoying the sweetness. I was enjoying the sweetness. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll let that wear off. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll let it wear off. We ought to do like the song in our the spiral bound choir book. It says, He lifted me up out of the deep miry clay. And it says, I'll tell it everywhere I go, for I want the whole world to know that He lifted me out. Amen. Amen. You know the scripture, Romans 10, 9 and 10, we read, but verse 11 is in there. He says in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Now that doesn't mean that you won't be embarrassed sometimes. Doesn't mean you won't be shy sometimes. But it means it'll be so sweet it'll overcome you. And you'll just about have to tell somebody about how good the Lord's been. Amen. You'll just about have to tell somebody. Amen. Let me mention three things about this sharing and I'll be done. First of all, we'll share it with our loved ones. Samson didn't have a wife yet. Samson didn't have children yet. Samson still had a mom and daddy. And he immediately went back and told his mom and dad about the honey. Didn't just tell them about it. He let them taste of it. Amen. He shared the sweetness that was there. Can I tell you, you've got family right around you. You don't have to go to Iceland. He does. God's called him to go. But I'm saying, unless God calls you, you don't have to go. But you got loved ones next to you. Right. Amen. Maybe the same pew. Maybe in the same home. Maybe in the same street. But you've got loved ones close to you that you can tell. You can share the sweetness of the goodness of God. Amen. If you will. Amen. Perhaps it is your parents that need to know about Christ. You can share that with them. Perhaps it's a sibling, perhaps it's children, whatever the case is, you have the opportunity to share it with them. You remember that Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter number 5 got saved? And immediately he wanted to go with the Lord. Here's the way I use it. I said he got saved immediately. He wants to become a disciple. He wants to become an itinerant preacher. He wants to travel with Jesus and tell the world about Jesus. And Jesus said, nope, you can't go with me right now. But he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back home. In chapter number 5 and verse number 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Amen. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. I don't remember now if it's Luke. One of the other Gospels tells the story, that same story, and it says this phrase. It says, go home to thy family and show them. I remember Brother Ronnie Sutton said, if you can't show it to your family, don't bother telling it to your friends. Amen. Family probably not going to listen to what you say. They're going to watch to see what you show.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. If they see you showing, they may listen to what you're saying. Amen. But if they don't see any show, and I'm not talking about putting on make-believe show. That's not what I'm talking about. If there's no reality there in your life, they're probably not going to listen to what you got to say. Amen. And they may not listen for a while. You'll have to prove it to them. But that's what he said. Go and tell thy friends. Amen. Share it with them. But I say share it with your loved ones. Number two, share it with your limited ability. Samson didn't have a cup that he could scoop that honey up in. Samson didn't have a container that he could carry that honey around with. All he could do is carry. Have you ever tried carrying honey in your hands? I never have. I've never went to somebody's house and said, give me a handful of honey. Because I can't hold much in my hand. I want more. I want a quart jar, praise God. Amen. But Samson, he couldn't take it all in. He couldn't give it all out, but what he could take in and what he could give out, that's what he did. I'm telling you, you may not know everything about justification and repentance and sanctification and all. You may not know everything about all that, but what you do know, what you have tasted, amen, you can share with somebody else. Amen. You can. You can share that with your limited ability. Amen. You can share it. Now, again, I go back to that Gadarene demoniac. He hadn't been saved a long time. Jesus said, go and tell it. And he published it throughout all Decapolis. Amen. Decapolis. You don't have to have a Bible college degree on religion to be a witness. Amen. Let's use a hypothetical. Let's say we was in here this morning and a fight broke out. And one man killed another. And let's say Brother Bell saw it happen. He's a witness. When they come in and investigate, they're not going to say, now, how many years did you go to criminal school, criminal investigation school? How much do you know? They say, what did you see? What are you aware of? What do you know took place? They don't care about the college education. Amen. You don't have to have a college degree to be a witness. Amen. All you got to do is have been there when something took place. Amen. All you got to do is know the facts. Know something happened. Amen. And by the way, just knowing it happened don't make you a witness. You got to tell. Amen. Just knowing it don't make you a witness. You got to tell what happened. Amen. You got to speak up. You got to stand up. Amen. And tell what happened. I say, share it with your limited ability. Share it with your loved ones. And then number three, and I've already alluded to it, share it with your life's example. You don't just say it. You show it. He didn't just tell his parents about the honey. He took the honey to them. He had honey on him. He had honey in him. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, it'd help us not only get Jesus in us, it'd help us to get Jesus on us when we go to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Take Jesus with us when we go to tell them. Amen. Take Jesus with us so we can show them what good things He has done. Picture Samson. Now I said, honey, hands don't work real good for ladling out honey. I don't know how many steps he took from that line to his mom and dad. I imagine it's several steps. And I think there's honey drops at every step of the way. I think that if they'd been of a mind to, they could have followed those honey laden footsteps back to where it all happened to start with. Lord, help us when we go. Go with a sweet spirit. Go with the glow of glory in our heart. Amen. And when I say go, I'm not just talking about on the day of visitation when we're supposed to go. You understand what I'm saying? I know about when we're in life. When you go to work, you ought to go glowing for Jesus. When you go shopping, you ought to go glowing for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And when God says, you ought to speak to that person, you ought to talk to that person about the Lord, every step of the way you ought to have honey dripping from you of the goodness of God and the greatness of the victory over that slain lion. Amen. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Acts chapter number 13, Barnabas was sent to check on Antioch. He had heard something had happened at Antioch. He was sent over there to check on it by the church at Jerusalem. And the Bible said when he went there and had seen the grace of God. Can people see grace in your life? If you're still smoking the same stuff, if you're still talking the same stuff, if you're still living the same way, what are they going to see? What are they going to see? Can they see a difference in your life? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Samson didn't talk a whole lot about that lion being defeated. He just shared the honey with them. You don't have to tell them how bad you were. They may know already how bad you were. You don't have to go into all the nitty-gritty details about how that the lion had been slain. But I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to share the sweetness. Share the honey with those around you. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the sweetness of the honey of Thy Word. The sweetness of the honey of Thy presence. Lord, I pray You would let some of that run through this place. Lord, You let it run through us. Let us have it in us and on us. And let us share it, Lord, with others. I pray work in this time of invitation according to Thy perfect will. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you'd like to come around the altar. I want to give you the opportunity to do just that. If God spoke to you and you need to pray, would you obey the Lord?